Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit our podcast page, BibleStudy.ASBZone.com, where you can find links to some Bible study resources and all of our previous episodes. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of your word. We thank you for entrusting it to us, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding, and we ask that you'll help us to rightly divide your words of truth as we go through this study today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled, What is Meant by the Law? What is meant by the law? Our passage for this study comes to us from Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Okay, we're going to stop there. That's in the middle. We're at the beginning of verse 18. But we're going to stop there for a second. What is meant by the law? The word law alone is found approximately 370 times across 330 verses in the King James Bible. And each of those instances can refer to something different. It's not always the Ten Commandments. Okay? It's not always the Ten Commandments. So we're going to look at the English, common English usage, and then we're going to look through how they're used in the Bible. In common English usage, the terms commandment and law are pretty much synonymous. And the term law refers to the entire body of statutory, administrative, and common law principles and rules governing the affairs or behavior of society or community. They can be written or unwritten. And it's important that we understand laws are cumulative, meaning that unless they are expressly abolished or rescinded at some point, they continue to be in force. Laws may be considered to be in force even when not actively or consistently enforced. Okay? So, as an example, if you know that there had been a law against speeding in your town, and one day you see the police, or not even a day, for a week, you see the police parked nearby and regular people are just up and down speeding and they don't do anything. And then you decide you're going to speed and some police pulls you over and writes you a ticket and you come to court and you say, But Your Honor, they weren't enforcing it. That judge is going to, you'll have a rude awakening. He's going to indicate to you that while they should have been enforcing it, their lack of enforcement did not constitute a rescinding of that law. So the law is still in force. Okay. The term statute can be used for as a synonym for law in everyday communication, but within a legal framework, it has a more precise meaning. Okay, so statutes within a legal framework means the specific codified statement of some law that has been approved by a monarch or a legislative body. So statutes are written rules to address specific implementations of a broader law or principle. Okay? There is a document, I should take some time to mention this, there is a document that will be linked to biblestudy.asbzone.com. So when you come to look at this podcast, you will see the link to this document, which will help you, because I'm not going to read the entire document verbatim, but I do want to cover some key points in it so that even if you're only listening to the podcast, you'll have some value. You will derive some value. When we're looking in the Word of God, we do have to pay close attention to the way in which something is used. Okay? But we're going to talk about what is meant by the law. So let me explain what can be meant by the law, first of all. When you see the law used in Scripture, it can refer to the Ten Commandments. It's not automatic. It can refer to the Ten Commandments. You have to look at the context. It can refer to all of the statutes and judgments given to Moses, right? Which is the Ten Commandments, and then all the other commandments and statutes and judgments. It can refer to only the statutes and judgments pertaining to the ceremonial system, right? What we'll say as the ceremonial law. It can refer to the first five books of the Bible. It can refer to Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Right? It can refer to those five books. It can refer to the entire Old Testament scriptures. Those are the different connotations for the law. When you see law of Moses, it's a little bit easier, because the law of Moses tends to be everything except the Ten Commandments. It's any of those things other than the Ten Commandments. So when you see the law of Moses, you're not really including the Ten Commandments in that discussion. But again, it can be as simple as the ceremonial law. It could be the civil laws and statutes and judgments. It can be all of the books written by Moses. It can be all of the Old Testament. Right, the law. And in the document, Biblical Definition of Law, Commandments, and Statutes, it's going to go into those different words, law, statute, ordinance, decree, precepts, judgments. It's going to go into those words and show you how those words line up in Hebrew and Greek. So that's important. But let's go back to our verse. Before we do the verse, we're going to look at one other place. If you go to Genesis 26, let's take a peek over it. Genesis 26. In Genesis 26, verse 5, the Lord is making a promise to Isaac. And we'll start in verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Isaac, and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now verse 5. Because, so this is why God is doing it, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Okay. In Exodus 20, the Lord says in verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The word that here is translated commandments is the same Hebrew word that was in Genesis 26, verse 5, was also translated commandments there. Okay? Sometimes the word that you find translated as commandments in one place is translated as statutes or laws in a different place. So sometimes when you see the phraseology in English, my commandments, my statutes, my laws, or my commandments, my ordinances, you'll find that different words, that a different Hebrew word is underlying that word in that particular sentence. Why the translators did not pick exactly the same word each time it came up, why they didn't say commandments each time that specific Hebrew word came up, or statutes each time that specific Hebrew word was used. It's not clear why that's the case, but I see the wisdom in it, meaning I can understand why God would have it that way. It forces us out of trying to determine what God is pointing at in a particular passage by just mapping the one word to the one word, right? So you can't just say, well, they used X word, so I can change that to commandments, right? I map that to commandments, and therefore it means the Ten Commandments. Or they used this other word, and I can change that to statutes, and therefore it's referring to the ceremonial law. It's not that straightforward. And it's most pronounced when you look at all of the places where multiple words are used. So for instance, where they use the phrase, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, you'd think, well, since all three of the words are there, you'd map them against the same set of words in the Hebrew. You'd map the Hebrew to the English using the same set of words. That's not what's done. Sometimes in those phrases, the order in which they're used in Hebrew is different, even though they translated the English in the same order. So it's really intriguing when you look at it, because by seeing the English in the same way each time, it draws your attention to the relationship of those passages each time. But yet, when you dig into it, when you look at the concordance and you look at the underlying words that were used, you'll realize that the words in Hebrew are not aligned the same way each time. Right? Definitely worthy of study. This study is admittedly a very, an introductory study. Okay? It is definitely an introductory study. So when you look at it, like I said, go into the document. It's 10 pages, and it will help you to understand, because many times commandments are translated the same way, but not always. In fact, one of the most interesting passages is this one, Nehemiah 9, 13 and 14. It says, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, and good statutes, and commandments. Okay? That's verse 13, 14. And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts. But that's the same word as commandments in the previous verse. Statutes and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant. Right? It's as though the translators were afraid of saying commandments, of making commandments in verse 13 and commandments in verse 14 the same. But the underlying Hebrew word is identical. So God gave them right judgments, true laws, good statutes, and commandments, and made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws. So they kept statutes and laws, but they made precepts and commandments in two adjacent verses. Okay. So that's important for us to review, to look at. And it helps us to understand why the rich young ruler did what he did. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, specific Greek word is used here. And he said unto him, Which? He had to ask that because the word that Jesus used for commandments was broad. And he needed to know specifically what Jesus was getting at because, hey, if I'm going to get eternal life and it hinges on this word, I need some specifics. And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? And of course, he goes on to say, all these I've kept from my youth up. Do you think he was suggesting only the ones Jesus mentioned? No, because the nature of the language Jesus used was keep the commandments. And he said, which, meaning which unit, not which three individual commandments, right? He did not understand it as being individual commandments, and we shouldn't. It was what unit of instruction are you referring to? And Jesus, to clarify, gave him several. He did not give them to him in order, as they are written anywhere else in the Bible. And we know that he deliberately left off covetousness. But the point was, by enumerating these specific statutes, the young man knew what Jesus was getting at. So in this particular case, commandments is clearly 10 commandments from the context. If Jesus had spoken more broadly about the tithe, or he had spoken about bringing a gift before the altar, or he had spoken about the law pertaining to leprosy, those things would have changed what the context was, and we would not have concluded that it was the Ten Commandments that he was referring to in this passage, because that context would help us to understand something different. Right? In Ephesians 2:15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Right? The Ten Commandments are not contained in ordinances. But the ceremonial law, the sacrificial system, had a number of ordinances that those commands were executed in. Right? Very specific ways in which you had peace offerings, sin offerings, trespass offerings, etc. Right? So you had a concept, and then what was tied behind it were specific activities that were associated with that. The Ten Commandments don't have that. So when you see even the law of commandments, right, that phrase in Ephesians 2:15 is still nebulous until it says contained in ordinances, and then that rules out the Ten Commandments for that discussion. Okay? In the New Testament, for instance, in Revelation 12:17, when it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, or in Revelation 14:12, where it says, here's the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, or in Revelation 22:14, where it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, right? The distinction that we have is the commandments of God versus the commandments of Moses. But we have a second distinction automatically, like it could not have ever been the commandments of Moses, the laws of Moses, because the laws of Moses, as we see referenced in Ephesians 2:15, the laws of Moses are include and focus on the ceremonial law, and therefore they are addressed by the death of Christ. On account of that, even if this had not said the commandments of God, we would know that historically, from the book of Revelation, the activities that Jesus performed on behalf of the plan of salvation would have eliminated the sacrificial system, the laws pertaining to the earthly sanctuary. It would have eliminated those from discussion. But it's specific enough in saying the laws of God that we know that it's in contrast to the laws of Moses, right? The context is made more clear for us. I invite you to take some time, go through the document that we have here, and really look and see how it's used across Scripture. This is just an introductory study. There's so much here to dig into, but we hope that there's enough to get you started. Matthew 19, verses 6 through 19 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness to us. We thank you for your word and the deep treasures of information it contains. Please help us to be willing to dig deep. Grant unto us wisdom and understanding as we do so, and help us to really come away with the realization of what you would have us to do, what you'd have us to learn, and how you'd have us to behave. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. Remember, you can find Rightly Divide the Word of Truth on Pandora, Spotify, and Apple Music, or wherever you normally obtain your podcasts. Please feel free to contact us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. Whether you have questions, comments, or concerns, we look forward to hearing from you. If you're finding this channel to be a blessing, please take the time to share our page with others. And always keep our ministry in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study His Word.